joining us today. If you would keep she and Steve in your prayers, they have decided that they're going to try to drive back from Florida tomorrow. So if you would hold them in your prayers, because that's not going to be a fun trip, I don't think. They're in Fort Myers, Florida, and they're coming home to Buffalo. So... I don't know the answer to that question. I asked too, but I haven't gotten a response. So.
Yeah, a friend of mine just did that. Drove from Florida to Wisconsin, but they have an RV, so they slept in the RV. Mm-hmm. So that was different.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. If I don't know. It would be a really long drive. It's, I guess, doable in a day, but not fun. Mm-hmm. So.
I know. It's gotta be over 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Sue Petrick. That's Sue Petrick.
Yes. Good morning, everybody. I finally got through.
Good morning, Sue.
Okay. All right, so we are starting with Chapter 27. I am going to have to hop off at 10:30 because I have another phone Zoom thing I have to do. So when we get to 10:30, I'll stop us, but we'll see if we how far we can get. We've got two more chapters of Acts. So we'll see how much we get done today. If we don't get it done today, we'll finish next week. Okay? Sure.
Why is it important for Paul to be judged by the emperor?
Paul has asked to be judged by the emperor for two reasons. First of all, because he doesn't want to be judged by the local governor. He's concerned about the local governor's political... other political forces pushing on him. But also, Paul really thinks that when he gets to Rome, the emperor's going to say, why are you here? Why are you bothering me with this? Go away.
Oh.
All right? So those are the overriding reasons. He doesn't want the political forces dealing with him, and going to the emperor for what Paul's charged of is like using a bazooka to kill a gnat. It's way overkill. So he assumes that when he gets there, the emperor's going to be like, and why are you here? Go.
Okay.
Away.
One more question.
Yeah.
I noticed in this chapter, the next chapters that we're going to read, it's we. Mm-hmm. Who's the we? Who's with Paul?
Whenever it flips into we, it's Luke. It's the author of the book, Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke and this book. When it's we, he's joined up with Paul again.
Okay, so Paul is not alone on this trip to Rome.
No.
He at least has someone with him.
Well, yes, and including the people who are escorting him. So he always has somebody with him.
Who's escorting him? What do you mean by that?
There are soldiers with him. He's a prisoner. He's not. He
no,
doesn't.
I know. Friends. Of his friends, who's with him?
We know that Luke is with him. We'll hear about some other people who are with him, but we don't know everybody. But in the ancient world, you never travel by yourself.
Okay.
So he always has people with him. We know it's Luke when the subject is we, rather than he. When it flips into second person, we know that that Luke is with him, but he's always got people with him, because this isn't.
And another question: is a centurion a high-ranking soldier?
No, a centurion is the equivalent of a corporal.
Okay.
You know, you have a little bit more experience and maybe a little more authority, but now you're just a soldier.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're starting at the beginning of chapter 27. And Jeanette has rightly noticed that we get a subject switch, that it becomes we. So Luke joins up with him at this point. So, let's see, how much of this am I going to read? I don't know, I'm going to read until I think it's a good place to stop. So I'm starting at 27, verse 1. When it was decided that we were to sail for Italy, they transferred Paul and some other prisoners to a centurion of the Augustan cohort named Julius. Embarking on a ship of Adramyttium that was about to set sail to the ports along the coast of Asia, we put to sea accompanied by Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica. The next day we put in at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly and allowed him to go to his friends to be cared for. Putting out to sea from there, we sailed under the lee of Cyprus, because the winds were against us. After we had sailed across the sea that is off Sicilia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra in Lycia. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship bound for Italy and put us on board. We sailed slowly for a number of days and arrived with difficulty off Cydnus. And as the wind was against us, we sailed under the lee of Crete, off Salmone. Sailing past it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens, near the city of Lesse. All right, so now, this doesn't mean a whole lot to you, and you can't really see my map, but if you get a sense of, let's see if I can show you here. You have your maps. Here's the boot of Italy. Crete is over here. All right? And the Lycia it talks about is here, kind of in Turkey. All right? So what he's doing is going from Caesarea, kind of up this way. All right? What they're trying eventually to do is to get to Italy, but it's a long trip because there's problems. And notice how many times we get the wind was against us, right? So, was there anything about this I thought was interesting? It's not clear that the centurion Julius goes with them in the second phase of the journey. Note in verse 6, they're in Myra. And it says, there the centurion found an Alexandrian ship bound for Italy and put us on board. It's not clear that he gets on board and continues to go with them at that point. We may see him show up again, but the way that's phrased, it sounds like, all right, I've taken you this far. This was the end of my journey. Here's a ship going the next phase where you need to go. I'll put you on that ship and maybe send some other soldiers with him. Was there any questions you had about any of that? It's kind of a travelogue. Mm-hmm. All right.
It's nice to have the map.
Yes.
In the very first sentence or so, why is this Macedonian from Thessalonica mentioned?
I don't know. Maybe because he was just traveling along with them. Maybe it was somebody Paul knew. Not sure.
Okay.
All right, so we're picking up at verse 9. Since much time had been lost and the sailing was now dangerous, because even the fast had already gone by, Paul advised them, saying, "Sirs, I can see that the voyage will be with danger and much heavy loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives." But the centurion paid more attention to the pilot and to the owner of the ship than to what Paul said. Since the harbor was not suitable for spending the winter, the majority was in favor of putting to sea from there on the chance that somehow they could reach Phoenix, where they could spend the winter. It was a harbor of Crete facing southwest and northwest. All right, so the fast... the fast that they're talking about is the Yom Kippur Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish Day of Atonement fast, what the Jews call the High Holy Days. where they, the Day of Atonement is the day where you atone, as the name suggests, for all of the sins that you have committed during the year. And part of that is fasting for the day. So Luke assumes that everyone would know what he meant. And if you just, if you're, you know, next fall, when you're hearing people talk about this, Yom in Hebrew means day. So Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement. Kippur is atonement, obviously. Literally making right. So, the soldier in charge is listening to the owner of the ship and to the pilot of the ship rather than Paul, as would make some sense. I mean, if I have to make a decision about whether we're sailing or not, I may listen to the person who has a financial stake in the ship and the person who's used to sailing it rather than this guy. But Paul is saying, maybe we don't want to go. But the pilot is saying, where we are now is not a place we can spend the winter. So we need to get to a harbor where we can spend the winter. And I don't know enough about sailing to know what would make the harbor an inappropriate place to spend the winter. Maybe it's not sheltered enough. I just don't know. But maybe. But wherever they were, we can't winter here, so we need to try to get to a harbor where we can spend the winter. But notice,
on the map, it looks wide open.
Yeah.
So it get all the winter winds off the other coast.
Yep.
But I think the nasty winds right now are coming from the northeast.
Northeast, yes.
And it's in the harbors that they're talking about staying in is in, on the southwest. So it's the opposite side of the island.
Yes. So they, what they want to do is get to a place where they can...
be protected from the nor'easter.
Right. And safely spend the winter. Now, you know, this is a long time, right? They aren't talking about just until this weather passes. Like, we're going to get to this harbor and we're going to settle in for the winter. So just note that travel in these times is not an easy thing, right? I mean, even today, ships look for good harbors, but then even more so. So, all right. So picking up at verse 13. When a moderate south wind began to blow, they thought they could achieve their purpose. So they weighed anchor and began to sail past Crete, close to the shore. But soon a violent wind called a northeaster rushed down from Crete. Since the ship was caught and could not be turned head on into the wind, we gave way to it and were driven. By running under the lee of a small island called Cauda, we were scarcely able to get the ship's boat under control. After hoisting it up, they took measures to undergird the ship. Then, fearing that they would run into the Syrtis, they lowered the sea anchor and so were driven. We were being pounded by the storm so violently that on the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. And on the third day, with their own hands, they threw the ship's tackle overboard. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest raged, all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned. So, they're in trouble, right? They thought they had a window where they could make it, and they got caught in a storm at sea. And remember that this is a time before compasses and before sextants. So all you have to go by when you're navigating is the sight of land and the stars. So when it says, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, they're really lost. They have no idea where they are because they have nothing to orient themselves to, right? It's not like they can pull out their compass and go, okay, which way is north? So, and they, so they throw first the cargo overboard, which is a big deal, because the only reason you're really sailing is to deliver the cargo. So if you, if you're throwing the cargo overboard, you've just lost the whole reason you're on the sea to begin with, right? And then the tackle, that means the food and the fresh water and anything they have. So what they're trying to do is lighten the ship, right? So they throw everything overboard. And Luke says, all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned. So they've given up, the sailors. They're done. They assume the ship is going to sink and they're all going to drown. And this is why people don't travel very much, because this kind of stuff can happen. Right?
Did Paul have any sailing experience? He seems to be speaking with some authority.
Well, he's done all this traveling, so he's been on quite a lot of ships for a person of his time. And remember, we're not talking about, these aren't cruise ships or yachts or ocean liners. If you're on the ship, you're engaged in the sailing of the ship. They're small, and it's kind of the all hands on deck is the way of the world. So if you were on a ship, you were on deck helping out. So he has more experience than some, but he's not obviously a professional sailor. Linda Ryan, are you trying to get in here?
No, well, I was just wondering if there are any pictures of the kind of ships they have.
Not that I'm aware of, but let me do some searching this week and see if I can find one.
That would be interesting. Then.
Yeah. So they're in the kind of the hopeless case. They've thrown over, they've dropped the sea anchor, which is a big deal because it takes basically everybody on the ship to pull it up again. It's very heavy. They've thrown over the cargo. They've thrown over their supplies. And it's been days since they've seen a star or the sun, and they're just being buffeted about, and they've given up all hope. So, picking up at verse 21. Since they had been without food for a long time, Paul then stood up among them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not set sail from Crete. So I'm going to stop there and say, he really has a habit of making friends and influencing people, doesn't he?
Told you so.
Yeah, exactly. So we've given up hope of being saved, and he says, you should have listened to me. That's going to make what happens next. Yeah, you're going to get it, right? So, men, you should have listened to me and not set sail from Crete, and thereby avoided this damage and loss. I urge you now to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. For last night there stood by me an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I worship, and he said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before the emperor, and indeed God has granted safety to all those who are sailing with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. But we will have to run aground on some island. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm a sailor, I haven't eaten for a while, we've thrown all our food and water over the ship, we've given up hope, and this dude is saying, my God says we're going to be okay. And by the way, if you had listened to me, we wouldn't be in this predicament. I might have thrown him off the ship then.
I was thinking that.
I mean, you know, dude, go away.
What about this phrase when he's quoting what God has said to him? He said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before the emperor. Why is
it's from God or just Paul, you know, assuming. Paul has come to the conclusion that when he stands before the emperor, that will give him a big stage to proclaim the message of Christ. So Paul's beginning to look forward to the time before the emperor. I'm thinking this sermon didn't go over so well with the sailors, although Luke doesn't really tell us. But there we go. So, let's see what happens next. When the 14th night had come, as we were drifting across the Sea of Adria, about midnight, the sailors suspected that they were nearing land. So they took soundings and found 20 fathoms. A little further on, they took soundings again and found 15 fathoms. Fearing that we might run on the rocks, they let down 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. But when the sailors tried to escape from the ship and had lowered the boat into the sea on the pretext of putting out anchors from the bow, Paul said to the centurions and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the boat and set it adrift. So the sailors have figured out that they're getting into shore, right? So they think, hey, if we get in the lifeboat, we're probably close enough to shore that the tides will bring us into shore. And this Paul dude, we don't care about him. There's only enough space in the boat for us. We know what we're doing. We're going to let down the boat, and we'll tell them it's so that we can lower the anchors in the front of the ship. Paul, having been on ships quite a bit, figures out what they're doing and says to the centurions, you let the sailors go, dude. We're dead. Because there aren't enough of us, and we don't know what we're doing well enough to manage this thing. So he tells that to the guards, and the guards cut the ropes on the boat and lets the lifeboat go.
Empty.
So, yet more reason that these sailors, that they haven't eaten Paul yet, is, you know, we're not quite sure why. But again, more of Paul, you know, making friends and influencing people wherever he goes. So, any other questions about that?
The next paragraph says they're going to take some food. I thought they threw all the food overboard.
Yes, I thought so too, but maybe they had some hidden in their cabin or something, yeah. It's coming up on 10:30, so I'm going to have to stop here. So I'll leave you on the cliffhanger of Paul and the sailors, and we'll pick up there next week, okay?
Okay.
All right, I'll see you all soon.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
Bye.